Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called the church through his Son, our Lord and Savior, and he has given us the great commands that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. For as we love God, love others, and go, we are fulfilling the scriptures from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations. Everything is contained in those three commands, as Jesus has told us in his word. So therefore, as we grow in this grace by which we stand, loving God, loving others, and going, we ourselves are transformed into a lovable person. How many of you want to be a lovable person? No, I want to be a crotchety old, right? Yeah. How many of you think there are people in the world that are like that? I do. Hence today's sermon title. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W. Know peace, K-N-O-W. Know Jesus, N-O. Know peace, N-O. Because what we have is a world that is living in a dichotomy. A dichotomy means it's two-sided. We are either with Christ or we are against Christ. There is only one God, and his name is Yahweh, and he has chosen to reveal himself through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And in that, we see his personhood. But many people in our world refuse to see who he is, and therefore they do not know peace. And it is amazing to me how much this affects just what happens in our world. So today, I want us to come to an understanding of just where we are. Over these last several weeks, I have seen so many people, and how many of you out there, you know, and I want you to think about this, how many of you out there know folks who are walking around and they're just kind of muddling through? It's like they don't know what's going to happen today, they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and they have no peace with what's going on, and they're looking for something to make a difference. Well, number one, that's the first mistake. You don't look for something. What do we look for?
Someone.
Yeah. He's given us himself. And it's in that that we truly find peace. But it's understanding that peace is his, and it's his freely to give. Well, how do I know that? Turn in your Bibles, as I told you earlier, to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 13, and we're going to read through 23. Now, you all know me. I'm going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to stop, and we're going to talk. So we're going to begin in 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, the first thing we need to understand is who is the he? For he rescued us. That he is God the Father. Can I get an amen, church? That's easy enough to understand, right? So we're setting up the precepts here. We're setting up the principles that we believe that the scripture is talking about from the beginning. In the beginning was God. And when we look at Genesis and we understand that truth, in the beginning was God. And God was in the beginning. Because God created all things. Everything that is came by him. Also, the thing we need to understand is if that there's going to be a way of redemption, it too has to come by God. Because none of us are powerful enough to take away the curse of sin. So God sent his Son. And that's exactly what it says here. That we have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Without the forgiveness of sins, how much peace do we have? Without the forgiveness of sins, we're still stuck in our sins, and it just wells up in us. And this is one of the things that I have to say to the church. If God has forgiven you, would you please forget it yourself? Because that's a poison also. If you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, you can know peace, but you have to forgive yourself. You are in the kingdom. You have been redeemed. You don't have to be redeemed. It's done. And in that we walk and we have that peace. What is that peace? It is a oneness again with God that we can come into his presence. Because remember, God cannot enter in where there is sin. But God enters into this relationship. And it speaks that right here. This first verse, verse 13 and into 14, because 14 is actually the continuation of that sentence. It's understanding. God is wrapping this all up right here. I could preach this one sentence for the next 35 minutes. But I have a whole lot more to do, so we're going to move forward. He says to us then from verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Isn't it amazing that Miss Susan just happened to choose, this is my Father's world? Amen, that's what I told her. You see, Miss Susan is learning something, and I pray you all learn it here and now. I do not tell that dear lady what songs to pick. She works in her gifts, I work in mine. And isn't it amazing how this thing comes together? Because it's all to his glory. Amen, Miss Susan? Because you all need to understand something about this old boy in this church named the Heart of Christ Church. I want you to do what you're supposed to do. So if you come to me and you say, oh, Pastor, I think we ought to. You better realize who the we is. You got the W upside down. Okay? Because I believe God talks to all of us and he gets us all involved because he wants us to have that peace. And that peace is an involvement with the kingdom. With his son, with the very redemption that he has given us, and he's setting up his thrones, and he's setting up his dominion, and he's setting up his authorities and his rulers, and it's you. And in that we have peace. Because we may not know, well, how many of you know what you're doing? I'll guarantee you right now. Yeah, y'all look at me and you think, oh man, he's an awesome pastor. He knows what he's doing. I got you fooled. I work for an awesome boss, and I keep very close accounts with him because I have to, because that's how I know what's going on. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. And when he leads me to good places. I think they're called green pastures and quiet waters. Oh, my. But this world, what about this world? Well, these dominions and thrones and all these rulers and all this other stuff, they're also on the evil side. And they're going to come against each and every one of us. We need to understand that. There is a war going on. And you and I are in the middle of this thing. Why? Because we are what is being fought for. That's how important we are. We are God's opus. What is an opus? An opus is his greatest creation. It is his best. How many of you think of yourselves as God's best? Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying that. He has. Do you believe it? You are to be his image here on earth. And he sent his son to teach us once again that through the redemption that he just spoke of, that we can have that image once again and have that peace and walk in the garden with our Lord. Where's the garden? Have you all walked outside lately? Now, it ain't perfect. It's not the Garden of Eden. Okay? There are briars and thistles and thorns. Oh, my. But in it is the semblance of God's grace and God's mercy, God's provision, God's love. But can you see it? Do you see it? You know, it's one of the things I love about being a farmer. And no, I'm not much of a farmer anymore. You know, I raise bees. But I used to have a farm. I raised cattle, I raised pigs, I raised chickens, I raised ducks. I felt like Dr. Doolittle. And I loved it. For years we did that. And now Russell's picking that back up again down home, and he's coming to his dad and saying, hey, teach me, teach me. And it's just so amazing to me because it's getting back to those things of nature and understanding that that's where God's involved, is in nature. And that's us. We are part of nature. Have you ever noticed how everybody has tried to move out of the farmland and into the big cities? And we need people in the cities because, you know, we need stuff to get done. You know, we need workers in factories and all that good stuff. So don't feel bad about whatever you're doing. I mean, it's all part and parcel to this world moving forward. But how interesting is it that a lot of these folks that get involved in this kind of stuff, they get stuck in this rut where they're running after this stuff daily, 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 daily. And what's it giving them? Indigestion, old age. Arthritis. Where's the peace? Where's the hope? Where's the happiness? And I think we need to take our eyes off of this and open them up to this and see the big picture, because that's where God is. He is right here, but we're so focused, so, you know, and how do I get this? Because he's created all these things. He is there, but because we get so wrapped up, we need to step back from verse 18, or from verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Again, coming back to the reality of all that stuff that I just spoke of. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which is proclaimed in all creation under heaven. And that's why I said we need to be outside. We need to be looking around. Creation speaks of God's holiness. Creation speaks of God's peace and his desire to have us as one with him. How many of you like to go to the beach or go to the mountains and see the vistas that are there? You know, the sunrise in the morning and you know, just a beautiful day somewhere, nice and quiet. You know, I loved it just the other day. We were out down at Russell's and the cicadas are starting to come out. How many of you are hearing the cicadas? You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I wish those things had shut up. No, I think that's wonderful. It's a symphony. I mean, I'm going to ask the guys, how many of you remember the other year when we went up to camp and the lightning bugs put on a display for us? Y'all should have seen it. We literally all walked outside. They were flashing in, I'm telling you right now, it was synchronized. It would go from one side of the meadow completely across to the other. And then it would come back the other way. And then it would be in the middle, out to the ends. It was just, it was fantastical for a half hour, 20 minutes. It was like a fireworks display that only God could put together. And he used bugs to do it. How many of us see this stuff? All creation sings his praises. And we realize we're part of that creation, and God wants us to have peace because he is the head, and we recognize that. But that's also why those who have no peace are so miserable and they try to make life miserable for us. But we, in the love of Christ, need to teach them, love them, right where they are. Because I'm going to tell you right now, how many of us were unlovable people before Christ? Every one of us. Every one of us. And by God's grace and mercy, we were introduced into that peace. Somehow, some way. Somebody said something. The Lord did something. It's not somebody. It's someone. God moved through the life of another believer to reach out to someone else. And that's what we need to do. And understand that the peace of Jesus is here for each and every one of us. Well, Pastor, that's really wonderful. That's awesome. But, you know, how can I be the one to do this? Because you all and I know that although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you to his fleshly body. What does that mean, reconciled? Yeah. Brother Wendell got it over there. Did you see what he said? You've brought us in. Into what? Into him. Into him. He is actually in us, heart and mind. Heart and mind. When we allow the Holy Spirit into us, he is right here and he is right here. How many of us know when God is talking to us, He is literally pouring out his essence right into us to get us to change. I've had many people say to me over the years, but Pastor, you know, I don't know that God speaks to me. And I'll look at him and I'll say, oh, really? Because I'll guarantee you he talks to you every day. And they're like, oh, no, I don't. I said, would you ever, and I'm talking to all of you right now, did you ever ask God a question? And while you're asking God the question, you start answering it? Well, yeah, that happens all the time. Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you this. Doesn't he say in his word that my sheep know my voice? Well, yeah, Pastor. Yeah. So what's the voice you know best? So if my sheep know my voice, which voice do you think he's going to talk to you with? It's called your subconscious. Now, can we taint it? Oh, yes. So what we have to do is look at it and say, okay, God just spoke something. Does it line up with Scripture or does it come against Scripture? If it comes against Scripture, yep, it was you and it was that bad pizza you ate last night. But if it lines up with Scripture, I'm telling you all right now, God is talking to you and you need to understand that. He uses the voice that we know. He has told us that. My sheep know my voice. Because he's using our mind and our heart to talk to us the way he created us. God is talking to you. He talks to me. He talks to all of his creation. And that is a truth that all of us need to know and hold to. Because in that, we will find that the reconciliation that he has brought has truly pulled us out of death and brought us into life. And in that life, we have peace. Our world does not know Jesus, so they have no peace. They're looking after it. And how many people run after all this different stuff? Okay, I know folks that they're constantly, today they're going after this, and tomorrow they're going after that, and a week from now they'll be going after that. And they spend all kind of money trying to get happy, and all they do is make themselves disappointed and broke. Anybody else been there? The truth of the matter is, Satan does not want us to understand these things. But Jesus has given us his word so that we can. Turn in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. When you get to chapter 14, we're going to begin in verse 22. We're going to begin in verse 22. Now, I've got a lot to read here, so I'm going to read some big sections, and then we'll come back and talk. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. If he does not love me, does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Jesus here opens a dialogue for each and every one of us to come under the understanding that the peace of God begins with what? Love God. Love God. When you love God, God comes to you. And I'm going to tell you all a little secret here. You don't love God until you realize God loves you. It's amazing. It's not about us. It's about him. He comes into a relationship with us before we're even ready to accept him and know him. He woos us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through people and circumstances. How many of you know that there are so many circumstances? You know, it's just amazing how many things just happen coincidentally in life. There is no such thing as a coincidence. There are God incidents, and there are demonic incidents, because we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a very spiritual world. Hey, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. You know, just how much does the spirit... Folks, all things were created through the spiritual world. I mean, even the scientists will tell you that before the Big Bang, we have no idea what was here because there was nothing here. Well, I think God answers that question, doesn't he? Because he was here in spirit well before, and there was no material things. And all of a sudden, and I think it's funny, you know, this little particle that had so much mass that it blew up, bang! And everything that is in existence came into existence. All this matter came out of nothing. That I agree with. All this matter came out of nothing. There was not this small mass, and it was this, you know, I want you to think about that, okay? How fantastical is that? That takes more faith than my entire religion. But in the beginning was God, and God spoke, and in that speaking, all things came into existence. And when we believe that and we hang on to the name of Jesus Christ, he says, my peace I will give you. My peace I will give you, not as the world gives you. What does he mean by that? How does the world give peace? It's circumstantially, isn't it? Well, I'll do this if you do that. It's called tit for tat. That's what I like to call it. Our world wants a piece of everything. And when we have that kind of peace, you don't have a peace at all because you don't own it. I mean, I want you all to think about this. I'm going to make this real simple. How many of you out there own your property? You know, you're smart people. I see two hands in the air, so I'm going to educate you. You don't own your property. How do I know that? Because you pay taxes on it every year. Stop paying those taxes and let's see what happens. Okay? Yeah. That's how the world gives us peace. Oh, you think you own it? Yeah, right. Nah. When you're in cahoots with the evil has control. You can't play that half game. It's understanding that. That's why I tell everybody, I got a mansion in heaven that ain't nobody taking, and there's no taxes on it. And I cannot wait to get there. But until I do, I got work down here because that's my retirement villa. And I cannot wait to be there in the presence of the Lord and all the glorious angels and all the saints. But until that day, hey, I got to get more people. Because I'm going to tell you right now, He's got a mansion there for every human being on the earth, if they will but receive. And that's where we need to walk. Because this peace that He's giving us, it's an eternal peace. And once we've received it, brothers and sisters, there's no going back. There is no going back. And that's where I want to live and have my being. From verse 28, he said, You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe and not speak much more. You may believe, I will not speak much more with you. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded. Get up, let us go from here. Jesus here is teaching these people that you and I are going to go through some things here on this world. That we're going to go through some things that we may not necessarily like, but God has a plan and a purpose. And that plan and a purpose is for the peace of our lives, for our eternity, moving us forward. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declareth the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And many of us think that hope and future is here. This is a temporary place, brothers and sisters. We get to muddle through, and whatever we end up with here, praise Jesus. If this is all you have and there's nothing more, when you're out of here, everything gets left behind. But when we get to heaven, we are going to have an eternal estate. And that's where we're building our treasures. We understand that, yes, we have things here. You know, many of us have things that we've worked hard for. How many of you work hard for everything you got? Praise Jesus, because otherwise you're a thief. So we work hard. Why? To show our willingness to work with the Lord and do that which is good, because that's what His word tells us. But how many people in this world try to take what each and every one of us have because they have no peace and they have no ill with trying to take your funds? I have to chuckle. Ryan and I just spoke earlier today. We got an email from Ionos, which is supposedly the company that we have that does our internet stuff. And it said that our domain has been removed. We need to contact them and you know, get this taken care of immediately. So I texted him and I said, Ryan, did you see the email that was supposedly Ionos? And he texted me back within 10 seconds. Yeah, these people are just pure evil. It was a scam. I want you to think about that. How much of this world is a scam? And we live in this world, but Jesus here has told us that we're going to have peace with Him, and He's going to bring us a hope that none of us can be without, because in this, we have a joy and a glory that I pray will last forever and ever. So we've got to get up and go from here, from where we are, to get ourselves involved where God has us going. And it's understanding that we're living in a broken world, a fallen world, because the ruler of this world, what, is coming. He's already here, brothers and sisters, and He is deceiving many. But Jesus has a word for us, and I think it's funny because we don't tie these things together. We've been taught to kind of break up the scripture, but He's coming right out of this, talking about the peace that He's going to give us and telling us now in chapter 15 how to abide in that peace and how to grow in it. For He says from 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I want you to think about what Jesus has just said there to us. Do you realize he's just told us what I started with in Colossians, that all things were created for him and through him? That means to tell me that every branch, every human being, every person on this earth, whether they have accepted Jesus Christ or not, comes under his authority. Can I get an amen, church? And that's where we live. That's why people have such a hard time. That's why they have no peace, because Jesus is right there trying to guide them, but they want to go the way they want to go. And what's going to happen to that branch? It's going to be cut off. What happens with a cut off branch? It withers and dies. And then it's thrown into the fire. Is there a reason they have no peace? Yes, because they've been lied to. They've been duped to think that they can do it in and of themselves. How many of us can do it in and of ourselves? I can't. I need each and every one of you. You need to hear me say that as your pastor. I need each and every one of you. You, with me, through God, become the church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You have been brought here for a reason, because God has something he wants to do in you. So the next time you come and you say, we need to do this, you'll know where I get this from, right? Because you are the me. Turn the W upside down. God's talking to you, and I won't deny it. And I will encourage you to do the good will of God, because he is allowing you to abide in him and to bring forth much good fruit. That's what he wants. That's the peace that we have. Isn't it awesome to know that the Almighty God wants you, wants to know you, wants to bless you, wants to give you a hope and a future? Oh, my heavens, brothers and sisters. And I don't care what it is. If it's, you know, and I don't mean to make anybody feel bad. If it's collecting trash, I'm going to do it to the glory of God. If it's being retired, do it to the glory of God. If it is working hard, taking care of other people, do it to the glory of God. And in it you will find peace. In it you'll find purpose. In it you'll find hope. In it you'll find him. And he will find you. Last piece. Let's read this to the end. From 8 to 17. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name may be given you. This I command you, that you love one another. Can you see where we get who we are? If we're going to understand that knowing God, knowing Jesus, is to know peace, then we need to love God and love others. And we have to go, because I can't love God and love others in a vacuum. I have to go. We have to go out into this world. And today, that's what I'm going to ask you to do. And you know, some of you are saying, oh, I can't do that. Folks, I just want you to live your life right where you are. Because the people that you're going to are the people you already know. They're the folks that come to you. You don't have to go after them. How many people come into our lives? A lot. It's not about going to Africa. It's not about, you know, oh my heavens, he's asking me to become a missionary. You're already a missionary. You just don't realize the mission field is your own backyard. You know, this is Dorothy and Toto, the Wizard of Oz. If I need an adventure, I don't need to go any further than my own backyard. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. God wants you right where he has you planted. And in that planting, may you find his joy, his hope, and know his peace. Our world doesn't know him, and they're constantly seeking after something else. But may we seek him all the time. And one of the awesome ways to do it is after church, there's still coffee and cookies downstairs. So let's go fellowship together for a little while and share the peace and the knowledge and the love of God with one another. Can I get an amen? Amen. Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And we understand, Lord, now perhaps more so than ever, that our peace truly is from you. We've always known that. But Lord, a little bit more understanding as to why so much of our world is clamoring after so much and failing so much. Because Lord, they don't know you, and it just leads to more and more problems. It leads to a separation. But Lord, we would ask that you would use us in the fellowship of faith, that we could reach out to others, love you, love others, and go. And in that, help change lives to bring Christ as your Son, our Savior, into the lives of all that we meet and know. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this word. Strengthen us in it, and may our peace grow daily as we see you in all that there is in Christ Jesus. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.